Today we start with a look at the concerns and debate about vaping. The most recent count attributed almost 400 illnesses and 6 deaths to vaping in 38 states. When e-cigarettes first became available, they were pitched as a new means to break free of tobacco products and a path to stop smoking. Then along came the many flavored e-cigarettes and the explosive way that youths have been drawn to them now. With us now to start the discussion is a clinical professor in the School of Nursing who has 40 years experience teaching at schools of medicine, social work, public health. He's also been involved with developing harm reduction tobacco interventions. Kevin McGurr, how are you today, Kevin?
I'm pretty good. Good to be here.
Oh, I appreciate you taking the time on this. Let's start with the health aspect. What are we seeing among the almost 400 cases of lung illnesses now that have been breaking out that are being attributed to vaping? Some say maybe excessive vaping being a catalyst of this.
Sure. And my reading is that what we know at this point, and I understand that the CDC will continue to do its investigation, which it should do, is that the problems having to do with lung injury seem to be attributed to counterfeit use of primarily THC products. There's also some conjecture that we're still in most of the country that recreational marijuana use is illegal. Hence, people have been needing to turn to counterfeit or their own self-devised products in order to get to use marijuana. Unfortunately, this has basically been a wide brush across all of vaping, including nicotine vaping. And I think that the issue that really needs to be looked at is that as marijuana does become recreational marijuana use, THC use across the country becomes legal, and people will probably begin more and more to choose vaping as opposed to inhaling a combusted product, that this is an issue that we're going to have to look at nationwide.
Now, we know that the FDA is the one who oversees the e-cigarette industry as a whole, but this aspect of it, who is overseeing this, or is this the Wild West of this particular industry?
Well, I mean, this is, again, I mean, I think this is the issue, particularly if we're talking now about vaping THC, that has not really come under really anyone's aegis at this point. It's state by state. So states are actually tasked with basically dealing with this issue. And I'm not sure that most states really are equipped. I think we really do need, in the same way that the CDC, for example, puts out guidelines for safer alcohol use, we really need individual states or the CDC to put out very clear guidelines for what's safe marijuana THC use amongst the adult populations.
Is this a case, too, where we're seeing, at the very least, an unregulated element of vaping being integrated into the regulated? For example, I'm not saying this as fact, but just as a hypothetical, can you take a legitimate overseen product like a Juul item and include the THC product, which was not really intended to be used with that Juul item?
Correct. And I'm not an expert in the wide variety of products, but what I do understand that Juul, which is a pod closed system, is much more difficult to manipulate than the earlier generation known as tank systems, you know, which are more easy to manipulate. And apparently that's what's happening. And of course, what people are using are oil-based products as opposed to water-based products in terms of whatever the active substance is, be it nicotine or THC. Inhaling or the potential inhalation of oil into anyone's lungs is dangerous for anyone, especially young folks or even older folks.
So is that why we're seeing, well, first of all, we're seeing the controversy around the flavored e-cigarettes, at least at this point in time. Do we know whether these flavorings have any THC content in them to any degree? I mean, we've heard everything from formaldehyde to various other heavy metal chemicals being a part, to the point where the CDC is now issuing warnings about second vape smoke being a risk because of the heavy metal content.
Right, again, there are thousands of articles and research that are coming out basically daily on, you know, electronic cigarette and vaping use, which is a good thing that we're continuing to do this research. But clearly the jury is still out longer term. No one is saying, including the advocates such as myself for vaping, are saying that vaping is absolutely safe. The key word is safer. We do know there's enough research, there's enough evidence, particularly around the globe, that vaping is much, vaping nicotine I'm talking about here now, is much safer than inhaling combusted tobacco use. So we've got a country like the UK, for example, which clearly endorses vaping as an alternative to individuals inhaling combusted tobacco. In some hospitals now, you can buy, in the UK, you can buy vaping products. So they have endorsed, you know, vaping as a viable strategy for people to move away from combusted tobacco, especially when the other products, such as nicotine replacements or the medications or going cold turkey, is not working for an individual. I mean, that's really what we need to be looking at. We know the harms that come from combusted tobacco use, and we live in a market economy. And if those other products are not satisfying to enough people, then we need to find other solutions that are working for people. And clearly, vaping is working for a lot of people.
True, for a lot. We're talking with Kevin McGurr, who is has 40 years of experience as a clinical professor in the School of Nursing. He's also been a developer of harm reduction tobacco interventions. You're listening to Issues and Ideas. Granted, it would just be an observation on your part, but e-cigarettes and even THC products have been around for a couple of years at least. The tool by which vaping is done is, I think, almost a decade old at this point. But it seems like just in a matter of weeks, we've just seen this explosion of illnesses. What is your suspicion as far as has there been all of a sudden a burst of a single illicit product now out there that these people have been unfortunate to come across? Or what logic, what reason can you put behind, after all this time, just all of a sudden and almost a flash, all these illnesses have all of a sudden come up?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, that's a good question. And again, as you're suggesting, it would be purely speculation on my part. I mean, I think it's important to note that we do have now up to 10 years or more of many people, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S. using these products safely. I mean, I think the only analogy that I can think of is occasionally there is a bad batch of whatever product, fill in the blank, that you can think about, be it food or medication, you know, or there's something, you know, wrong with the packaging or the labeling, you know, of some product that, you know, someone along the line didn't do their job and it got out to the public. I think in this case, you know, what has happened in it, and I guess we could think of it as a perfect storm, you know, as people are beginning to, you know, except that marijuana use is more legal in lots of places around the country, but not in all places. And I believe in the states, you know, where this THC vaping has happened, it is illegal in those states. So other people are knowing that vaping is happening, vaping of THC is happening in states where it is legal, such as in California or Massachusetts. You know, some people are just being creative about taking these devices and manipulating to their, you know, to their own need and use, but not really knowing what they're doing. That's the problem.
So it's a matter of
And I guess that makes the case for regulation and oversight to provide some guidance and assurance to the public that these are the safer products, albeit there are always risks in using anything that goes into our bodies.
And considering the explosion of vaping by youth that we've seen, the rates going from I think a couple of years ago in the teens for 8th graders, 10th graders, 12th graders to almost 40% in some cases. It might be just something as simple as the person behind the counter following proper procedure and asking for ID.
Absolutely. And one strategy that I'm becoming more fond of, although everyone who is an advocate is not in support, but moving the sale of vaping products to vape shops where there can be more control, more monitoring, more regulation, as opposed to allowing these products to be sold, you know, at the gas station or at the corner store. The vape shop owners, you know and are very clear that they should not be selling to minors, and they tend to be, from what I understand, very vigilant in, you know, carding people when they come into the shop to make purchases.
And maybe even for states to license them, much like you would license a bar.
That's another option. Everyone would not support that, but I think it's a strategy that certainly is very worthy of consideration. Because my concern is, and I'm not advocating that we, certainly are not advocating that we sell vaping products to youth, but I think we want to be clear, but by banning either flavors or vaping entirely, like they have done in San Francisco and now more cities around the country, we're depriving adults who are smokers, smoking adults, of a viable alternative to stop smoking.
It's kind of odd to say with something that's been around so long, but just because of, as I said earlier, referred to earlier, it's just we've had these series of tragedies happen in such lightning pace that maybe it's given just cause to reexamine a process of what seems to be simple retail, to understand that it's a product that has risks to it for some people, because everybody is going to take in something new to it differently. And not everybody is going to be able to take it in at all, which might be some of the cases that we're seeing as well. But slower and more study might be the way to a solution to avoid any more injuries and tragic deaths that we've seen, albeit six so far. But you might say that's a low number. Don't say that to the families of those six people who have passed away. It's going to be interesting to watch to see how this develops, and hopefully overreaction doesn't create a void where a solution actually exists. We've been talking with Kevin McGurr, who is a veteran of the health industry as a clinical professor in the School of Nursing, teaching at schools of medicine, social work, public health. He's been involved with developing harm reduction tobacco interventions as well. Kevin, you provided some interesting insight, and hopefully it'll add to the debate and people talking about this in their own lives. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you for the opportunity.